Hey everyone, my name is Keaton. Thanks for checking out one of our sermons today. We're so glad that you're here. We want to connect with you and your family. The easiest way to do that is to text River Church to 97,000. There you can ask questions, submit prayer requests, and even support the River Church financially. At the end of the day, we just want to connect with you and be a blessing any way that we can. You can also visit our website at theriverchurch.cc to learn more about us and what we have going on as a church. Thanks again for joining us. We hope you're blessed by today's message.
Happy Mother's Day. Can we just have all the moms? Moms, will you stand up? We just want to give you a round of applause. Thanks, moms. Yeah, so awesome. So we have cupcakes for you out there. I mean, if you want to go get it right now, I don't care. Or you can get it after. You're welcome to do that. But just thank you, moms. Thank you. For those of you with child dedication, I'm so sorry. I couldn't be up here. I was in the back. I got really, really sick last night. And, you know, they say there's like a 24-hour flu. I don't, like 7:30 last night, I got the flu. And I had chills. And I know some of you are like, okay, back that up a little bit here. So some of you, I was staying away from you. So I felt like bad because some of you would try to shake my hand and be like, all right, veer away from you. I haven't hugged my wife or my mom today. So I, feeling better, and hopefully get through this sermon. If you do have your Bible, it'll be in Psalm 27. If you're new with us, my name is Jason Combs. I am the location pastor here, and honored to be with you this morning. We, this summer, are studying the book of Psalms, 150 chapters, walking through this poetic literature, teaching us how to pray, teaching us how do we give praise to the Lord, pray to the Lord. And I have loved studying this because really it has been so practical. It's been so real, speaking into the struggle, speaking into where things are not always easy. And David shares like things are hard and difficult. And so Psalms 27 is a psalm of confidence. It's a psalm where David speaks into his confidence in the Lord. And what's so beautiful about this is it's not like this happy-go-lucky, oh, everything's good. David tells us it's hard. It's scary. I'm struggling. Yet I run in confidence to the Lord. The beginning of this passage, it starts in verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh. And again, I love the pet. It's just real. When somebody wants to rip my legs off my body, right? Like devour my flesh, my adversaries and foes. It is they who stumble and fall. Though an army encamp me against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war arise against me, yet I will be confident. To wait on the Lord, to trust in the Lord, in the situation it's difficult, do you have confidence in the Lord? Do we wait on the Lord, or do we rush ahead of him? Do we wait for the Lord's will and the Lord's path and the Lord's truth? Or do we find ourselves rushing ahead and taking care of it ourselves, or putting our hope in what we can do and not what the Lord is doing? Or do we not rush ahead, but we get stuck in fear, where fear and anxiety grips us? The Bible says the Lord, in him we live and move and have our being. God calls us to a life to follow him, to serve him, to have this confidence in him. But we all know there are times when that grip of this world, fear, grabs us. And we struggle to move. Struggle to get up. We struggle to run the race that the Lord has for us to run. The psalm is about putting our confidence in the Lord. Maybe to help illustrate this, I would tell you I'm not afraid of heights. I just don't like them. So I mean, some of you like to go get like go to the tallest building, go to the top floor, and then lean over the edge of the building. I don't want any part of that. Right? Nothing of going, hey, look at that. Like, I think that's crazy. We, my family, we took a trip out west, and we hiked up some mountains, and it got to a place where I'm like, hey, you know, if we slip here and fall, that's not going to go well. Let's turn around. We're going back. So again, I'm not afraid of heights. I just don't like them. But I will tell you, maybe you find this interesting, that you know those high ropes courses, you know, where you go up like 50 feet in the air and they got these ropes and then you walk out on these things? I'm totally good with that. You know where you go and they strap you in and they got these ropes and you got your carabiners and you latch into it? I tell you what, when I get up in the tree and I'm like, hey, I am fine. Is it still scary? Is it still high? If you fall, are you still in trouble? Yes. But I have some confidence in that rope, in that strap, in that carabiner to go, you know what? This is made to protect me. If I slip, I'm going to be okay. Think about that in your relationship with the Lord. To have confidence in the Lord doesn't mean things aren't difficult or hard or scary. But you're in a place where you trust the Lord. You know he has you. And this Psalm 27 speaks to that confidence. David starts off and says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? David doesn't mess around. They're scary times. Me have felt those times. Is there a confidence that you have in the Lord? A confidence to trust him in everything? Have you met that believer that has that confidence? You know that believer, you've seen what they've gone through. You've seen the medical, you know, the difficulties. You've seen the hurt. And you just look at them and go, man, this person, they have such confidence. They walk differently. It looks different. Even when things are hard, there's this hope in their heart, this hope in their life. David says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? I love this. The Lord is my light. Now, the Bible talks about light throughout the entire Bible. Start in chapter 1, where God, right, creates light in the beginning, right? The, chapter 1, light. You can go all the way to the end. The last book in the Bible, Revelation, you go to the end. The Bible tells us in eternity we won't need the sun. The Lord is the light. But here in Psalm 27, what I find interesting, this is the only time in the Old Testament that it says, the Lord is my light. Now in the New Testament, we go to 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness. We see that God is the light. What I love is when Jesus comes to the earth, God sends his son, Jesus Christ. In John chapter 1, it says this about Jesus. It says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The true light, verse 9, the true light which gives light to everyone was coming into the world. Now, I think this is so amazing because Psalms, written hundreds and hundreds of years before Jesus comes, and it says, God is light. And now Jesus comes to the earth, and what does it say about Jesus? The light has come to the world. I'm fascinated as I study through Psalms. This is, as I read through these Psalms, it's amazing that you see Jesus over and over and over again. In Psalm chapter 1, now I know that sermon was a long time ago, like 5 weeks, so I don't expect you to remember. But Psalm chapter number 1, we're talked about the believer, the follower, is like a tree planted by the stream, the water. When Jesus comes, what do we find about Jesus? Jesus is the living water. This is who he is. When we studied Psalm 23, the Bible says, of the Lord God, the Lord is my shepherd. And Jesus comes, and what does Jesus say? I am the good shepherd. Last week in chapter 25, we read, right, to seek the path of the Lord, the truth of the Lord. Jesus comes, and what does Jesus say? Jesus says, I am the way, the truth. Jesus is the path. Jesus is the salvation. And now chapter 27, look how amazing the Bible is, showing us Christ. Some claim, well, Jesus doesn't really claim to be deity. You're not reading the Bible if you think that. Over and over again, here, the Lord is my light. Who is the light? Christ. But it's not a distant light. It's not a light far away. David said, the Lord is my light. The Lord is my salvation. One pastor said, it's not enough to know that the Lord is light. Even the demons know this. You must be able to say, the Lord is my light. If you're a churchy and grew up in church, you probably heard that song, This Little Light of, oh, mine. Yeah, mine. It's a personal light. David said, the Lord is my light. Charles Spurgeon, the English pastor, said, salvation finds us in the dark, but it does not leave us there. It gives light to those who sit in the valley of the shadow of death. After conversion, our God is our joy, our comfort, our guide, our teacher, and in every sense, our light. He's light within, light around, light reflected from us, and light to be revealed in us. It does not say the Lord merely gives light, but that he is the light. To see this personal relationship with the Almighty God, that Jesus comes down and the light of the world comes to darkness and offers salvation. David says, the Lord is my light, my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Now look to verse 2. Verse 2 and 3 are interesting to me. It's like David sets up these scenarios. He sets up these scenarios of trouble. He sets up these scenes of difficulty. Whenever you study Psalms, I always find, like in all the commentaries, they're always trying to find out when the psalm was written. Like if David wrote some of the psalms, when did he write this psalm? Did he write it early in his life when he was battling in the wars? Did he write it toward the end of his life where Absalom was son and it became a mess? I wonder, people always go, it could be here. I think this one is here. But with these two verses, I don't think David is giving a specific problem. I think he's setting up a scenario to teach us, but it's like this scene in his head. Like trouble is coming. He knows it is, but he sets this up in his mind going, man, I know what that's going to look like. It's like he builds the scene. See verse 2. It says, when evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh or to devour my flesh. He gives this picture of one vivid picture. It's like he's imagining what's going to happen. It's like a shadow of what is to come. He's thinking, I know what's going to happen. He's coming and he wants to devour my flesh. And then verse 3, he gives it, this one now is a little different. He says, though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. The war arise against me, yet I will be confident. It's this scene in his mind. Now he's thinking, they're all coming. You know, like he's imagining it. Like they're all going to come. The attack, the war is going to come. Am I going to be confident in the Lord? Now I so find these couple verses to connect to my soul. because I'm really good at building up scenarios in my mind. You know, like before I go, well, I know if they come tell me this, I know exactly what I'm going to tell them. Like, I got the best one-liners. They're going to come right, like, hey, at work, if this happens, I know this is what I'm going to do, and I'm going to do this too, and this, and you're not going to do that. And then when the person, like, maybe it's just me, I build scenarios in my mind. I think about how I'm going to respond. I think about how I, like, before even the difficulty comes, I'm already thinking through. Spurgeon said, doubtless the shadow of anticipated trouble is. I'm going to read that again because it's early English. Doubtless the shadow of anticipated trouble is. It's like David is giving us the anticipated trouble. Oh, it's coming. I know it's coming. But I'm going to have confidence in the Lord. It's in the scenario he seeks God. Well, how does he do that? I thank you for asking. Let's keep reading through this chapter. Verse 4, one thing have I asked of the Lord. That will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord, to inquire in his temple. Where does the confidence of David lie? Where does the Bible lead us to have? What does this confidence look like? How do we get there? David said, my confidence is in the presence of God. He seeks to be with the Lord. He knows the best place to be, the most protected, cared for, is with the Lord. It's why he says, I will go to the temple. I will seek the temple. Now, in the Old Testament, we know the temple, it represents the presence of the Lord. He wants to be with God. He knows that's where he's going to find comfort and hope. When you think about confidence in God, does that confidence lie in seeking to be with the Lord? Does that confidence lie in going, Lord, it's you being near. Now, what is so wonderful where we stand today that we see Christ comes after David. Christ dies on the cross, rises again. We no longer look to the temple of the presence of God. The Bible says if we come to know Christ, that we are the temple of God, that Christ dwells in us, with us. The Lord is my light. And this confidence that we should have as believers is seeking to be near the Father. When I was a little kid, I grew up on Pauline. I think I was 6 or 7, somewhere around there. My father had a 1969 Yamaha 360. It was great, Mom, sitting in my garage. But my dad, when I was a little kid, right, 6, 5, 6, 7, I would ride on the back of this motorcycle with dad, and we'd just go up and down the streets. We would never really go really far, but one day, we went to this really cool place. We drove up Hatchery Road, and when you go past Kettering Drive, back in the day, there were no houses there. It was a massive sand pit. Who remembers the sand pit? Who remembers the horses on the other side? No, okay. But it was a massive sand pit, huge hills. And one day, Dad took me to the sand pit. And it was like, it was exciting and terrifying all at the same time. Because there were like, you could go up on the big, I mean, I won't say mountain, but big hill and the sand. And so I was, you know, I'm just holding on and exciting and terrifying. So we were going along, and my dad's front tire got stuck somehow, and we got stuck, and so we jumped. I remember I got off the bike, and Dad got off the bike, and he had to restart it. So he just wanted to make sure it was good. So my dad restarts the motorcycle and drives it away like 30 yards. I instantly become terrified and start crying. It's funny the things you remember when you were little, but I remember I was so, and it's not like my dad was going to, he was not going to leave me, but for that little tiny second, I thought, man, where I'm at, dad was near, now he's not. And I got scared, began to cry. If you know the Lord and are a Christian, the Lord being near is the greatest thing. To have the confidence in the Lord. So in your life, if we do think, you know, knowing the Lord and following the Lord and being near the Lord, that's where our confidence lies. But maybe you're in a place, if you're honest, the hunger for the Lord is not there. I was reading one commentary, and he talked about, you know, when we, as humans, we're hungry normally. But if, like, 3 days go by and you're no longer hungry, there's a problem, right? If for 3 days you're like, hey, I don't really have it. Like, there's something not working right if you're not hungry. And the commentary went on to say, if we, as believers, live a life, and we're in a time in our life, and the truth is there's no hunger to be with the Lord. The truth is, as a believer, there's something wrong. Because the God who created all sent his son, and he loves you, and he died on the cross, and he calls us to a personal relationship with him, to walk with him, to be close to him, to know his comfort, to know his protection. And if we are living a life, and the truth is, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, there is no draw to try to draw close to the Lord, something's wrong. And maybe you're here and go, Pastor, I'm struggling to have that hunger to be with the Lord. Listen, we all have times of struggle. So some practical advice in this is a time to draw near to the church so that people will gather around you, sir, in your struggle, and people will cry out to the Lord saying, Lord, we're praying for our brother that there will be a desire in his heart to know you. Lord, may you just reveal yourself to him that he may know you and draw close to you. That's what we have confidence in. Ma'am, if you're struggling practically, this is why the church is so important, because we all have struggles. We'll have times of weakness. The church is a great place to come, have ladies gather around you. I don't know if you notice, but after our gatherings, people don't go and get out of here real quick. People hang out. You'll find, you just, if you haven't seen, stick around, watch. You'll see people praying over each other. See people gather together, caring for one another. David said, I am confident in the Lord. Why? Or how did, where was his confidence? His confidence was in seeking the presence of God. Verse 5, it says, for he will hide me in his shelter. In the day of trouble, he will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock. What do we see here? Not only in David's confidence, he sought the presence of the Lord. He sought the protection of the Lord. In that scenario, thinking about, okay, this is going to happen. What did he want? He wanted the Lord to be there. So maybe to make things a little awkward or uncomfortable, sir, ma'am, in the scenario you created yesterday, did you want the Lord to be in that? What you thought about in that struggle, whatever was going on in your mind, and you go, man, I'm confident in the Lord. In what happened yesterday, and you're thinking through that, were you like, Lord, in this struggle, in this hurt, Lord, I just want you to be here. Or did you, we could do what I do a lot. I'm going to take care of it myself, my own way. I'm going to deal with it. And forget about how important the presence of the Lord is. See, David sought the presence, but then the protection of the Lord. When we think of David, like he was a pretty good warrior. We see the battles that he was in. He could wield a sword real well. He was a like slingshot. He was pretty good at that thing. We see him early in his life taking care of protecting the sheep. We see later on knocking down a big dude. But I could see how it'd be easy for him to go, yeah, they're coming. I know what I can do to take care of it. But David sought the Lord. One said, as a good soldier, David knew how to handle his weapon, but found himself much at home with the weapon of prayer. We think back to the story of David and Goliath in 1 Samuel 17, and Goliath comes and charges out there, and it says, then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with the sword and with the spear and with the javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. What was his confidence in? The Lord God. Here, he says, Lord, I will hide in your shelter. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. Verse number 6, there's just kind of this explosion of joy that comes out of David because of this confidence, knowing the Lord has me, the Lord's strength is there. He says, now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. I think what's pretty revealing, if our confidence in the Lord is in the Lord, then our praise will be in the Lord. If our confidence in the Lord, there's going to be a sacrifice of joy to the Lord. There's going to be a singing and a praising to God. David was confident in his God. He sought his presence. He sought his protection. And we get to verse 7. What's interesting, now David begins to pray. Verse 7, hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. We see now David praying. And what does he ask for? Verse 11, teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path because of my enemies. David asks for the guidance of God. If our confidence is in the Lord, we will seek his guidance. We will seek what he has. I think for me, this chapter, this 27th Psalm, it's so revealing to me. Jason, how much confidence do you have in the Lord? How can I grow in having that confidence in the Lord? For me, I think about praying this chapter, Lord, may I seek you and know the goodness of your presence. Lord, may I trust in your protection. Lord, help me to not get ahead of you. Help me to not go, God, I'm going to figure it out. God, let me wait on you and trust in you. Lord, guide me in your path. God, help me to grow in trusting you. Again, why I think studying the Psalms are so amazing. It's so practical and real and personal. God, may you lead. God, may it be what you want. Last night, it was pretty crazy. Last night at like 7:30, I got really sick. I was doing fine most of the day, and I got hit. Some people say the 24-hour flu. I think I had like an 8-hour flu. Like it is, I got chills and freezing and sweating. TMI, okay. But I was just sitting there shaking under the blankets, just going, okay, I don't know if I'm going to preach tomorrow. I called Roy at 10:30. I'm like, Pastor Roy, I just sent you my notes. Let's walk through the sermon because I don't know if I'm going to get here in the morning. But I tell you, what was so beautiful as I sat there, I just started to reach out to some people, to my family, to the staff, to some deacons and friends. I go, hey, will you guys just pray about this? Will you just pray? I remember telling Roy at 10:30, I go, Roy, if I feel good in the morning, then I feel like the Lord wants me to be here, then I'll be here. And Roy, if you preach, then that's what the Lord wants, and I am good with that too. It was I was sick, but such in great peace, because I had confidence, like, Lord, you got this. I know we are seeking you as a church. I just went, hey, will you guys pray? And it just had people praying, and there's such a confidence in seeking the guidance of the Lord. You don't have to do it alone. It's not just a single person down a single trail. We get to walk together seeking the guidance of the Lord. David sought the presence. He sought the protection. He sought guidance. Verse 12 says, give me not up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me and they breathe out violence. One pastor said from this verse, he goes, he prayed for guidance and he prayed for victory. We have a big God who we serve. We can boldly come before the throne and seek him. Seek his guidance. Seek his will. Seek the Lord. And Lord, may we have victory in this for your name's sake. And David closes the psalm. In verse 14, he says this. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. There's this beautiful truth that we can trust in God. There's a verse in Isaiah that says that if we know the Lord, we don't have to make haste and be out of control. We wait for the Lord. This morning, Christian, maybe you're here and you just need to hear this. Wait for the Lord. Seek him first. Find your confidence in the Almighty God. There's a verse in Hebrews chapter 6 that says, those who know the Lord won't be slothful, but they'll have this faith and they'll have this trust in God. See, when we have this confidence in the Lord, it slows us down to wait on him, but it also frees us up so we don't have that anxiety and fear that locks us down. It doesn't take us to a sluggish place. We're free to live, move, and have our being to seek what God has. David said, the Lord is my light. This morning, if you're here and you know the light of Jesus, may we grow as a church having confidence in him. If you don't know the light of the Lord, what is so amazing is God's love came down in Jesus Christ. The light came into darkness. Jesus offers to take you out of darkness into the glorious light. How? by being good, by doing, no, by trusting, putting your faith in the cross of Jesus. And I just look and see, for some of you, when we talk about the cross, there's just a joy on your face. Because you've received the light of Christ. You've received the forgiveness of sin. You've received the presence of the Lord. How? Because Christ died on the cross for your sins and he rose again. And if we'll confess our sin and believe in Jesus Christ, put our faith and hope in him, he saves us. We receive the marvelous light to no longer have to walk in darkness, but to have a confidence in the Almighty God that he is with us. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, right where you're at, you can cry out to him and he'll save you. If you do know the Lord, maybe this week we'll think about praying, Lord, may I grow in the confidence of you. Let's stand together. Lord God, thanks for this morning. Lord, I thank you just to think back a few hours ago and how sick I felt just to see you. Thank you for that, Lord. God, may we know you and trust you and grow in you. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.